Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. La da la da da di ne. La da la da la di.
Narasimhadev Jayanisimhadev Jayanisimhadev Narasimhadev Jayanisimhadev Narasimhadev Jayanisimhadev Narasimhadev Jayanisimhadev Narasimhadev Jayanisimhadev कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्रीवासरी गौर भक्तविंद की जय श्री राधा कृष्ण गोकुलनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गौरान की जय श्री वृंदावन श्री मथुर धाम की जय श्री नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय कंगमाई जमुन माई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय संग वीर भक्त वृंद की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय जय निताय गोप्रमनंदे ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग ग्लोरियस टू श्री गोपाल ओम अज्ञानं तिनन्दस्याज्ञं शलाकया चक्षुर्मिथुन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणै निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य सठारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीद्वैत गराधा श्रीवासरी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री शिवलाल नरसिंह भगवान की जय सिंह छात्र दासी की जय सो इन ऑर्डर टू प्रिपेयर अस फॉर द अपीयरेंस डे ऑफ लॉर्ड नरसिंहदेव व्हिच इज कमिंग इन टू और थ्री डेज वी कैन ट्राई टू रिमेंबर सम ऑफ हिज pastimes, teachings. We were asked to speak specifically about the Lord Nrsingadev in Mayapur. Have you seen Nrsingadev in Mayapur? Here is Chandan Yatra. This time of the year he's covered with Chandan. Here's a picture of him in Chandan. He looks very gentle, very sweet when he's in Chandan. Big smile. Normally he doesn't look so sweet. How many people have you been to Mayapur? Everyone, no? Very good. Anyway, we published a little book about Nrsingadev. Every year we distribute in Mayapur few thousand and on Nrsingha Chaturdasi. That's a very popular deity, Lord Nrsingadev. Especially in Kali Yuga, everyone has problems. So Lord Nrsingadev is it's the deva for protection. We worship Lord Nrsingadev to protect. Srila Prabhupada establishes his prayers that we just chanted, Namaste Narasingha, Tava Kava Kamalama Bear, after each arti. I don't know if there was any deities established in ISKCON during Prabhupada's time, but he did sanction that one could be established. I believe in Gujarat somewhere. Maybe Ahmedabad. But he said this prayer was for the protection of the movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's movement, and the devotees. So we pray to the protection. So specifically we pray for to protect our Bhakti Lata Beach, our devotional Kripa. So that's for the devotees, the main function of our worship of Lord Nrsingadev. Not that we want to go to Vaikuntha. So he's our deity to remove the obstacles in the worship of Radha and Krishna. Only time. And he's especially favorable to the devotees of Radha and Krishna. And he's a Golok deity also. Huh? Nanda Baba worships Nrsingadev to protect Krishna. So he's definitely in our line. I give the history of it. I was asked because I have to stretch it a little bit since we've got an hour. He asked me to do it for 2 days. I said I can't really stretch it for 2 days. I don't think, but let's see. This was the reason for the deity being there was that in 1984, we were attacked by dacoits, the temple. Because at that time, Mayapur temple was kind of remote. Just rice paddies, nothing else around practically. And then the co-director, Avananda Prabhu, he had a dream of this Nrsingadev, very angry Nrsingadev. So then he thought, we should get a deity to protect us. As also was established by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Jogpit, in the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, they also have a deity of Lakshmi Narayan for protection. So then he sent one devotee, Atmatatra Prabhu. I don't know if you know him, he was just here 2 days ago. Very learned person. And he made some sketches along with Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu, our Radhisham Mangalati Pujari of Nrsingadev, from the description. So then he went to Chennai and went to a different star patties. He's a famous, I think, is it? Not Ganesh. I can't remember his name. He's very famous. He didn't want to make the deity. He said, this is the Ugra Nrsinga. Ugra means angry. This form, there's nine different forms of angry Nrsingadev also. But this one, this Shtanu, very, very ferocious, the most ferocious. Stan means place, right? So the place where he's come from, when he's just come from the, burst from the pillar to kill Hiranyakasipu. He's been tolerating so many insults, death threats to his beloved devotee Prahlad. So many ways that his demoniac father had tried to kill him, and Lord Nrsingadev was tolerating, although he was protecting Prahlad, as well you know. But this was the last straw. Hiranyakashipu was going to draw his sword. And this was too much. He couldn't any longer. So this is a form that he just burst out of that pillar. He's furious. He's shaking with anger. So he said, this form nobody worships. He went through the Shilpa Shastras and was given a description of this, and it was exactly the description of the one that came in the dream. And his legs were bent because he's ready to spring on Hiranyakashipu. Different weapons in his hands. And so he said, I will ask my guru, and if he gives me permission, I will do it. I won't do it. I'll get someone else to do it. So Guru told him, Guru, who is the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram, he said, don't make this deity. It will not be auspicious for your family. He said, anyway, who wants to worship such a deity? He said, it's for the Hare Krishnas in Navadvip. Don't do it. It will not be auspicious for you. It will not be auspicious for them. He said, on the way to Mysore, there was a temple. Many years ago, they had a form of this angry Nrisingadev. He said, Hiranyakashipu was there and his intestines were spilling out. He said, that was a very opulent temple. They used to have elephant program every day. But now that place has become like a ghost town. Nobody wants to live there anymore. Is this what they want for their Mayapur project? He said, don't do it. So then Saratna Thapa was going here and there, looking around. And this is going on a period of almost a year, practically. But finally he went back to that same Sthapati, and surprisingly he agreed to make him. He said, because... He said, my guru came in a dream and told me it's okay to make this deity for you. And the very next day he got a hand-delivered letter explaining something about... Because he designs temples also. He builds temples in the West. It was explaining something about the chakra. And then the footnote was, you can make that deity for ISKCON. And the Tathagata Prabhu explained to us that because he's being worshipped in the Dham, then he takes on a different feature. He said all of the deities in the Dham, they take on the same mood as the presiding deity of the Dham. Is it like here, who's your presiding deity in Vrindavan? What's her mood? Huh? What's her mood? Huh? Compassion, love, yes. So, same in Mayapur. Her sentiment has appeared with Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his mood there is compassion and love. Giving, authority, giving, mercy. So in that case, then that deity will have that particular mood in that place. Not that everywhere, because actually someone, another devotee, he wanted to make an Utsava deity of this Stanu Nrisinga. So we said we really don't have any need for that, because we bathe the big deity on the Nrisinga Chaturdasi, and we don't have any functions of like putting to bed, you know, physically, things like that. But anyway, he made it, and then one of our sannyasis took it. Exactly the same features. That was His Holiness Sridhar Swami. And he used to worship that deity. He's standing, and he's got this silver or gold pillar, each side falling apart from him, and he's like this, waiting for him, and the pillar's falling apart. As well as some other ferocious shaligrams he had. But when he left his body, he gave him to another sannyasi who took them to his area where he's working, his project, and they experienced a lot of trouble. They were experiencing some difficulties there. So he asked if we could take him back to Mayapur. But anyway, he came back to Mayapur. He's in the Mayapur Gurukul now. So in the Dham it's okay, but otherwise one has to be very careful. He said nobody worship. He said even in the heavenly planets they don't worship this form. Nrisimhadev. When you go to the deity, you pray, you generally ask for something, right? I know you all ask for pure unalloyed devotional service. Whatever, material or spiritual, we generally ask the deity for something. Reciprocation is there. That's why we go to the temple, we worship the deities, so we can see the form of the Lord and we can speak to the Lord and expect some reciprocation. He said, but a form like this, he's not going to reciprocate. He's furious, he's angry like anything. When someone's really angry, I mean really angry, you don't go up to them, right? You stay away and you let them cool down, and then you go later and then try and so this is the mood he's in. So he said, "It's not. Why you wonder? You know, who would want? Why would you want to worship such deity?" So outside, there wouldn't be much reciprocation. So there would be no need to actually worship a deity like that, because he's only going to reciprocate with one person here. That's Hiranyakashipu. So he wouldn't be much interested, and he'd be very unpredictable. Sometimes you see that deity, like in Ahovalam. If you go to Ahovalam, Upper Ahovalam, go way up, walk right up to the riverbed. It's a lovely walk. It's a nice place. Then you go behind a waterfall and there's a cave, and there's one at the stand on the Shinga there. No pujari. So the people go, you go up there and clean up and put some water and abhishek and put some oil if you have, and the monkeys come there and no pujari. So generally you may find like that in. Generally in the Singhadev you find on top of mountains, in forests, in caves, the temples. So there's not real, they don't really actually worship him as such as full there. So it's a very unique deity, a very very powerful deity. So he said to him, it'll take 6 months to make this deity. So Atmatapa Prabhupada was very happy. Came back with 6 months, we'll have our deity. Then he went down a little early. 4 or 5 months later, he went down and he had to buy some different paraphernalia, lamps and things like that for the deity. So then he went to the Stapati and said, "I've come for the deity." He said, "What deity?" The Singhadev. He said, "I haven't started yet." He said, "But you told me it takes 6 months." He said, "I told you it takes 6 months." He said, "When I find the stone, it'll take 6 months." So he's looking, he said, "Well, there's nothing but mountains all around." Said the Stapati, he looked at him incredulously and said, "I'm not making a grinding mortar. I'm making a deity." He said, "You can't make the deity from any stone. It should be a living stone." "A living stone? Oh, great. What's a living stone?" There we know, in the Shilpa Shastra, they said, we know you how to tell what is a living stone. You tap it in 7 points, dong, 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 and it will make certain sounds. It will make a melody. That's one evidence. And then there's another evidence is there'll be a track. You'll see a track running through. There's some bug that kind of eats through. Anyway, it leaves a track right the way through this stone from one side to the other. If that's there also, that is a second evidence. So when I find his stone, I will tell you. So then months later, he found the stone. he told him that he had found the stone. So then Atmatapa Prabhu went down again. And he hadn't done anything. They just made this rough shape, rectangular. And the workers told him that he comes every day but he doesn't do anything. He just stares at the deity. He just stares at that stone with some chalk in his hand. And then he goes. So because that's their line, that's their parampara. So what they do, they meditate on the form that they want. And then it appears to them that form, actually, they envisage that form. And then with the chalk, then he outlines that form. And then they start the carving. So after many more months, finally ready. And they actually did the they actually did the, they carved the eyes, and they did some of the pujas, pratishtha there. Usually they don't do it down there, but they actually did some parts of the installation already in that factory. And he also asked for that he wants Prahlad Maharaj. We need Prahlad. He said, I forgot to tell you last time. So he said, I can't do it. He said, why not? He said, because you want everything according to sizes according to Shastra, right? He said, yes. He said, then Prahlad will be the size of an amoeba. So he said, no, we want 1 foot. He said, then the Shringadev has to be, you know, a few hundred feet tall. So then afterwards, okay, we make you a deity of 1 foot with Prahlad. So when he finished the deity, he finished on a Friday evening, but the Appantattva was waiting for him, but he had some social function on the weekend, so he thought he'll call him after the weekend, he'll call him. Anyway, that night there was a big storm, rain and thunder, lightning, and he gets a phone call, your workshop's on fire. His work, you know, their work area. So he rushes down there. The whole place is burnt down. Just Nrsingadev is standing there with the smoke coming up all around him. So he called up Amitabha. Hey, come and take your deity away. He's burning the whole place down. Come and take him away. He wants to go to Mayapur. So they put him in a truck, laid him in a truck of sand, took him up, and so it was very amazing because at the border post they always check, they always stop you, Harishi, they want some bakshish. So then they would say, what you got there, and they would say, come and see. Then they would lift up the cloth and say, go. So then he was brought to Mayapur, and that was 1986. It was the same year as Radha Madhava moved into the big Radha Madhava moved in, and the four gopis moved into the new temple. Just after that, and it was a nice ceremony installation. About 3 days it lasted. And since that time, there has been no major problems. Quite peaceful there. A lot of devotees have felt some reciprocation of Lord Nrsingadev. Some devotees have claimed to have seen him outside of the temple. Some devotees claim to have spoken to him. But so over the over the years, well, immediately actually, it's become a very, very popular deity in ISKCON. Very popular. So we wrote down some of these things that people were telling us. You said you just believe it or not. When someone tells you a story, generally it's only their own experience. There's no witnesses. So you either believe it or you don't believe it. But many people was having different experiences. I think it was, and also with Lord Jagannath in Mayapur also, he was another very active deity. At that time so many things were going on and so many things were Shingadev. So then we published these stories, and then everything stopped. We thought maybe he just wants to popularize Mayapur, because that's the Navadvip is the place for the, in Kali Yuga, this is the Yuga Dharma is Nam Sankirtan, and that place, benevolent place, is open, it says, is opening, right? Mayapur, the lotus is opening. And Por Vrindavan is closing. Right? The Jamuna is drying, will dry up, and the Govardhan will disappear. And but Mayapur is, it will be opening. So, but still, you know, still going on, everything's still going on. even the other day. Is our teacher here from this one, art teacher from the school, Mataji? Is she here? Do you have it? Because I was asked to tell some stories for the boys in the school. Then the one teacher came up and told me that her friend had this a problem that, and she wrote the letter and wanted some puja for Nrsingadev, that her friend's husband had went to another city 6 months ago and she hadn't heard from him since. So she was in complete distress, you know, she had no contact with her husband for 6 months. So she gave him the letter, told me, then I offered a prayer to them. My own picture of Nrsingadev. I said, I'll send it by email. I'll send this and get the puja done. So I did that. Then I saw her the other day. She was excited. She said, you know, I gave you that letter. And she said, within 1 hour, the husband phoned up the wife. We're going to Mayapur to see the deity and say thanks. So because generally you hear these stories in the Puranas and you think, well, that was in the old days when everything was nice and everyone was pure and things like that. But no, even today these things are going on. So I wrote some of these. I wrote them in a, I didn't publish this book, someone else did, but we wrote some things for the Mayapur journal sometimes. So during the Purnima festival, one Mataji came and asked we have two pots of Charanamrita, one for the ladies and one for the men. So I find someone, Mataji, that I knew and called her, told her, take this please and give her the Matajis. And she said, she was shocked, she said, you know, I was praying to Nrsingadev for some service. I was just praying, please give me some service. And she said, instantly you called me over and gave me this service. He said, so wonderful. I said, yeah, that's incredible. Because I said, and there was, I said, did you hear this other story? This one of her friends, who was a teacher at the school, she had a problem with her eyes, and she's had it since childhood, and she gets this problem with her eyes, and it goes on for weeks, generally, so she can't do a service. So she was praying to Lord Nrsingadev, Lord, please give me some relief so I can continue my service. And Nrsingadev spoke to her. He said, "You first get my eyes back, then I'll fix yours." So she was shocked, didn't know what he was talking about, because actually we changed the eyes of Nrsingadev. From the original, somebody bought some big stones. They're called tiger light. They're yellowish stones with black streaks. They kind of look like eyes, half round, about that big. So he bought them and offered them to Nrsingadev. So I put them on Nrsingadev, and I asked some devotees, what do you think? It's okay. But apparently he didn't like them. Apparently he didn't want them. So so she heard that, and then she was shocked. She thought, well, I must be hallucinating. I'm just imagining it because. And then the voice came again. Well, whatever voice it was, I asked her, "What did he sound like?" She said, "You know better than me." So, it was one of those. But generally a voice is a voice in the heart, I would imagine. Then it came again. You tell the pujari I want my old eyes back. So, and she was completely shocked. She was thinking, what am I going to do? Then he said, go to the pujari and tell him to change my eyes. So then she went to the pujari room and Tananda's head pujari was sitting there reading. And after a while, when he noticed her, then she told him the whole story. So he told her to see me. So then she didn't see me, but we didn't know whether to believe her or not. But then she's a teacher. She's not a sentimental, imaginative person. She's a very serious person. Anyway, the next day she came to see me, or the day after. And she said, again, last night when I was sleeping, that voice woke me up again. You tell the pujari to change my eyes back. And she told me the whole story. And I believed her. We checked her out. She's a sober person. So then the next morning put the old ones back. And her she wasn't there at Mongolai, her daughter came for the Darshanati, that's right. Darshanati, then her daughter saw that and she went running home, Mummy, Shingadev eyes, he's changed, he's got his old eyes back. And right at that time then her problem also left. So the miracle. Singawaniki, yeah. Then what the Shingadev's sweet cook, elderly lady, and she was very sick. She said, "I was so sick, I couldn't even hardly stand. I was leaning against the pillar outside his altar, and I was praying, 'Lord, how can I do my service for you? Please, you have to do something. I'm so sick.'" Then she said, she felt everything, all the sickness just going out, and it's gone. Completely normal. One moment. So, that's very nice. Then she was telling me that, then I saw another manager who she used to paint the deities, artist. So she was going to Guwahati to paint the deities there. But she had some problem of contamination, which was going on for like 2 weeks. So she said, "What can I do? I've got the tickets to go, but can I paint the deities in my condition? This problem is not going away." I said, "Go and ask the Shingadev. He gives instant benedictions." I told her the story. Instantly, he can do something. So she went to pray. Next morning she said, "Thank you very much." She said, "As soon as I got home, I found that problem had cleared up." When we first got the deity, so they had a meeting, who's going to worship the deity, and no, the pujaris didn't want to worship him. They were all scared. So they got down to three of us, and then they got down to two of us, and Jananavas, he said, "Well, he's looking after Radha Madhava, so it leaves me. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, why not? I said, I'm too scared. We know why you're too scared, because you don't follow the four regular principles. You've good reason to be scared, right? I said, of course I follow. Then there's no problem. Here is the key. After a couple of days, one of the Bengali boys, Bhava said he was always scared. He said that deity makes sounds. I don't want to worship. It makes too many. It makes noises inside. It gives me the willies. So one night he put the deity to rest. He said, I was just leaving the temple, and I heard this. He said, such a sound. He said, all my hairs were standing on end. I looked round and I saw everything was in order. So then I locked up, paid my obeisances, and begged for forgiveness if I'd made any offense. Went back to his room and he took rest. And in the morning, he was woken up. His bed was moving. His bunk bed, double bed, he was on the top. The bed was rocking, so he thought, it must be the other pujari. He's getting up for taking a shower. The bed is rocking. He opened his eyes, and Nrsingadev is sitting on the end of the bed. he freaked out. He was already scared. And he was panicking. Then Nrsingadev, he put his hands on his... He was trying to get up. Nrsingadev put his hands on his shoulders like that. Which he said felt like the weight of the whole universe pressing him down. But Nrsingadev was very calm. And he told him, it's okay, be peaceful. So I've just come to tell you that when you worship me in the temple, there's no need to be afraid of me. You give up that fear and worship me peacefully, there's no need to be afraid. So also, when you wake me up, Mangalarti, don't turn that spotlight directly in my eyes. Then the Singhadev disappeared. That devotee panicked, he jumped up. He jumped out of bed, he's running. He was sleeping in the long building, what we call a long building. It's a very long building. You know. So he's running up and down the veranda. And just before Mangalarti, everyone thinking, what's going on? Maybe he's haunted. He's got ghosts, has got him, or something like that. They're trying to say, hey, Baba City, what are you doing? He's like, he's running up and down. Then he ran to the temple and paid his obeisances outside. Then he became a little peaceful. So he was going back to his room, and people were coming from Mangalarti. He said, everyone was staring at me. So I couldn't understand why. I said, and I looked down, I realized I didn't have my dhoti on. Then he had two marks on his shoulders for years. Quite a number of years he had these two marks. They're gone now. Also another devotee, Gaudiya Math, he's the acharya now, sannyasi. He came to the temple and told Jananavas that during Nrsingha Chaturdasi, they also worship Nrsingadev in their temple. They have a deity of Nrsingadev. He said, I was fasting, staying up whole night, chanting. At the end of the night, he said, Nrsingadev was in my room. He said, you're Nrsingadev, in a red dress. He was sitting in my room, and he was looking at me, and he was seemed very pleased. I told my Guru Maharaj, he said, you're very fortunate. Now you go to Mayapur and offer some puja for that deity. Don't tell anyone, he said. Sometimes we used to put these false nails on the Nrsingadev, you know, like the ladies wear. Sometimes they stick false fingernails. They weren't very effective, you could hardly see them. But anyway, I used to give them as Mahaprasad to people. So I gave one to this one Mataji, from Russia. Was used to make garland every day for Nrsingadev. It took about 3 hours. You know, garland, Tulsi garland, you know, like this fat. And you know. So I gave her this Mahaprasad, Mashadi fingernail. And the next morning, she said, last night, Lord Nrsingadev came in my dream. He put his nails in my heart and he pulled out this black yucky stuff and he said, you see this? He said, this is not love, this is lust. He said, and there's more inside. What shall I do with this? The next morning she went and told him to throw it all away. So even in the modern times, these things are going on. Another devotee came during the Gopurnima, and she asked if she wants to do some seva for Lord Nrsingadev, and she asked if she could get some, we could offer some mangoes for him. It wasn't the, because she dreamt of Nrsingadev. And Nrsingadev was just like my father. He was holding my hand and we were walking. And he was talking to me, saying so many nice things. And she said, I can't remember most of what we were saying. But I can remember asking, how can we serve you? And he told me that you can offer me some mangoes. So she asked how she could get some. It wasn't mango season. Anyway, somehow or other they found some mangoes and offered them to Nrsingadev. A few days later, this was the year that His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj left his body in Mayapur. And she said, I didn't tell you all of the dream. Because Lord Nrsingadev, he said to me, he said, my pujari is very dear to me. I think I'll take him back. And she said, no, we want him to stay here. Don't take him. He said, I think I'll take him back. And she was pleading with him, no, please don't take him. So he's going backwards and forwards for some time. Then the Nrsingadev said, alright then, I'll take one of the leaders instead. She said, I told my Guru Maharaj, he said, don't mention this to anyone. He said, but now this has happened, that His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj left his body and there. Gaur Govinda Maharaj ki. Back to Godhead ki. Then I was telling this story to another devotee, Vishambra Prabhu, and I told him that story. He said, that's incredible. He said, my wife dreamt of Nrsingadev last night with mangoes. He said, yesterday she went outside the campus and in one of the shops outside she saw some mango pickles. So she's a devotee of Nrsingadev. She keeps a picture of this Nrsingadev in her house. They live in America. And she worships this, she worships him there. So she thought she'd buy these mango pickles from Nrsingadev. But then she was reasoning that maybe, you know, we don't know how pure it is, what they put in the outside. So then she didn't buy them. She said, but last night Lord Nrsingadev came to her dream and asked her, where are my mango pickles? So next day she had to buy them. There's another story. When the his Jayavataka Maharaj suffered from his stroke, he has one disciple of his. She lives in America. She was from Mayapur. She got married and lived in America. Very nice, pure devotee. And she was in complete distress because nobody knew what the problem was. We just knew that he had a stroke and it was very critical. He had like 10% chance to actually live, according to the doctors. And so she was in complete distress. And then her dream, Nrisingadev came and said, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. So how can I not worry, my Guru Maharaj, who I don't know whether he's going to stay or go? And he said, oh. And then he embraced it with 8 arms. Made it peaceful. He said, no, don't. He said, don't worry. And then the dream broke. Then again, then she saw her Guru Maharaj laying down on the bed. And then the Nrisingadev went over to him and he put his hand under his head, which was, you know, where the brain hemorrhage was, because it was right underneath. Anyway, it was almost impossible to operate on because of the place. But nobody knew what the actual situation was. But Nrisingadev put his hand right there, and he went like that, and he said, "No, you don't worry. He's going to be all right." Sing about one key. Lots of people, as you know, I'm doing about six to ten pujas every day for different people writing in. So it's quite a good success, but the story is a little maybe too repetitious to put how he's saving people from cancer and things like that. Another story, one boy, Bengali, he went down to Bombay, he wanted to become a Bollywood star, but he ended up washing glasses in a tea shop for 12 hours a day and sleeping on the bench. But by good fortune, that was right outside Juhu Temple. And one time he found some time and he went in there. And so they sent him to Mayapur because he was a Bengali. He wanted to join. He had given up his hopes of ever becoming a movie star. So they sent him. They said, go to Mayapur there. So then he came and joined in Mayapur. Meanwhile, his parents, they didn't know where he was. They were frantic. They were going looking all over the place for him, trying to find him. Then some of his relatives came to Mayapur and they thought that they recognized him. They said it looked like him, but he was had a shaved head, but he walked like him, but I think it was uncle. So then the parents came down to Mayapur. I think they're from Durgapur. They came to Mayapur and they was asking around and they went to the office and nobody knew. They couldn't find any trace of him. And they were there whole day, night time there, during the evening arti of Nrisingadev's. Mother was praying to Nrisingadev that Prabhupada, last time I came here I was also chanting and with all of the devotees and happy, she said, but now, as you know, my only son is gone. I can't take any more pleasure in life. Please, please, if only you could reunite my son with me, then I will also raise my hands and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then her son walked between her and the Shingadev and stopped. And the parents got initiated and they became very fired up, the preaching Nama program. One of the boys in Mayapur, someone threw a firecracker which exploded in his face. So he was seriously burnt. And they took him to hospital. He said, very serious, second degree burns. And we'll have to check to see if he's gone blind or not. It's very critical. Whole face was all burned up. And so they had to move him around to a few hospitals to find the right place. Finally, check these eyes. His eyes, he won't be blind. There's some damage there, but he's missed the actual retina. But he's gonna have some, you know, nasty scars. What we recommend, we'll just clean him up. Then after a couple of months, you go in for something else. Then after 6 months, then you can have plastic surgery and make his face nice again. So I said, anyway, tomorrow come and we'll do the initial cleanup. So then she called me and told me, and also Japitaka Maharaj gave her some Nishingadev oil, Abhishek oil to put on, and so she called me to do this puja. So then we offered the pujas for him in that day, that time. So they did they took him in for the facial dressing. Then a few minutes later they came out. They just came out, very excited. They said, come, come, come. They called the parents in. And they came in and the little boy is standing there smiling with not a mark on his face. Just one small mark. They said, apparently all this, they started to clean it, and just like the whole thing came, a whole face peeled off, and underneath it was perfectly normal. But it was actually second degree burns. That's serious. He just had one little mark. And they couldn't explain it. They said he's Krishna's boy, yeah? You take him back to Krishna, we can't explain this. He's done something here. Another devotee from Delhi, student. He came, he's doing the Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur. And then he got chicken pox. All these black spots started to come. So then he went to the doctor and he said, yes, it's chicken pox. Oh no, he'd been trying so long to come to Mayapur, finally he got permission from his parents. And now he wouldn't be able, they said you have to have isolation. It's very contagious. So then he went to another doctor, he went to the Ayurvedic doctor, he told him the same thing. Then he went to the homeopathic doctor, he told him the same thing. He said 14 days in seclusion. So he's really fried. Because, you know, he'd miss the Bhakti Shastri classes, he'd miss the association of the sannyasis, and even Darshan, he couldn't come, because he went to the temple in the evening, and the guard told him, you know, take your darshan. There was this room. He said, take prasad and go. He said, you shouldn't come to the temple like that. Because there were these black spots coming. So then he was really disappointed. And he was praying. He went to the Lord Nrisingadev and prayed, look at my wretched condition. Because it's a horrible thing. It makes you itch and you feel really bad. And he said, look at my wretched condition. Please, I come to my part is studying now. Everything is, please help me. I'm helpless. So, next morning, he woke up very early in the morning. And he went to take he took a shower. And all his spots washed off. He was fine. Everything disappeared. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. He was fine. He was immediately cured. Another boy joined. He went through the Bhakta program. 3 months. Or 3-4 months. Then he went to one department. Then his father came and requested that he come back home. And his mother wants him to come back and finish his degree. He was in college, and he had another year. If he finished another year, he'd get his degree, and then he could do what he wanted. And his mother was really missing him, and so he was in a dilemma because he was also missing his mother. He wanted to go back. He said, let me ask my department head. So they went, and the department said, no, don't take him. Don't take him away. Then one of his friends fell down and grabbed his father's feet and said, don't take him back to Maya, let him stay here. So then his father was in a dilemma. His father was a Vaishnava also. He lived in an ashram, he knew what it's like. So he was, now what am I going to do? So his father said, I can't decide. So he went to Lord Nrisingadev to make the petition. And he prayed to Nrisingadev, I don't know what to do, whether I should take my son or whether he should stay here. I leave it up to you. Somehow or other you resolve this. At night time he's sleeping, Lord Nrisingadev came and rubbing his head. He said, my dear child, you be peaceful, go home. He said, don't worry about your son, I will look after him. Another devotee, student from the youth forum, he used to argue with his father. His father used to argue, how can you say that Lord Nrisingadev and Krishna are the same person? So he used to have this debate, but he could never, his father was never convinced, couldn't convince, you know. So they came to Mayapur to observe the Nrisinga Chaturdasi festival. His father was watching the Abhishek. While he was watching the Abhishek of Nrisingadev, suddenly he saw Nrisingadev's face turn to Madhava's face. Then he looked at Madhava. Then he looked back and Madhava was there again. Then he looked back and Madhava was there. Then he realized there's no difference. Some devotees from Taiwan. I think they were from mainland China. And the mother and daughter, they were devotees. The father, he wasn't devotee, he didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. And he was dying of cancer. And in the hospital they were playing Prabhupada's Kirtan, Hare Krishna Kirtan, and giving Chanamrita, Tulsi, things like that. And while he was playing the tape, he was in a coma, and he was just about to leave his body. While they were playing Prabhupada's tape, chanting Hare Krishna, then He was starting to come out of the coma, and he was tapping his hand. And his ring was hitting the bed. It was ding, 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 like this. And gradually he became conscious. His eyes were closed. And suddenly he said, "Who is this person? Who is that other person in the room?" They said, "There's me and your daughter." "No, no, no. This tall person, this tall man." She said, "No one else in the room." "No, you don't see him?" He has a face like the lion and long fingers. "You don't see him?" "No, there's only... Who is he? I don't know what it is." And the mother and daughter look at each other and said, "That's Nrsingadev." Because they actually were praying to they have a picture of this Nrsingadev, Mayapur, and she was praying to Nrsingadev that his father could leave peacefully and, you know, go have a peaceful journey to Lord Nrsingadev's lotus feet. He said, "Nrsinga who?" He said, "But he's nodding his head in agreement. It is him." And he's talking. You can't see him. Oh, I forgot. You can't see him. But he's there. He's really there. And he's talking to me. And he's telling me. He's saying, this mantra, they're playing. You should chant that. And then he disappeared. So she said, "What is it? Can you teach me this mantra?" So they told him, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." And then he began to chant. And that night he left his body very peacefully. And after the service, funeral service, and the staff came, and he said it was very extraordinary that your father, when we burned his body, the ashes are white like jade. Usually they're black and white mixed. So the ashes were pure white. And that room that he left his body in, a very special feeling. We just keep in that. Sometimes we just go in there. We don't use it for any other patients. So it's such a special feeling in that room. And this mantra he was chanting, can we chant that? Can you teach us a mantra? So even he wasn't a devotee, he didn't know anything, the father, about Hare Krishna. He didn't know anything. He wasn't a devotee, but Nrsingadev appeared to him, apparently according to them. So is it 14 generations backwards and forwards? Anyway, there's some of the stories, but I get actually hundreds of letters like this. But you can't keep putting the same thing again and again. Any questions? I'll tell you a story. I had a dream. I had one thing. The only thing. And the TP called me. Pankajangri, bring some diesel oil. He said, "We're going to sacrifice Lord Nrsingadev." I said, "You're going to what?" He said, "We're going to sacrifice Lord Nrsingadev." I said, "What are you talking about? You're nuts." He said, "Just bring the diesel oil, will you?" So I bought the oil. I said, "Here it is. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm going." I came back some time later. And I peeped in the temple and everything was burnt black. Only Nrsingadev's feet were there. He's gone. Burnt. Everything was burnt up. Then I woke up and completely shocked. So in the morning I asked Sananda, "What was this? I had a nightmare last night. Terrible. What does it mean? What is the meaning of this dream?" So he thought for a while. He said, "Yesterday was the Jaldan. You know, we're dripping Tulsi. It's Tulsi Shalagram. They don't do it here. They should do it. It'd be much cooler here." You're supposed to drip water on the Shaligram for 1 month also, that same month. So it was the first year we had the Shaligram from the Shingadev. We did it for Radha Madhava Shat, but we didn't do it. So his Janavas told me, the Shingadev's telling that he's burning up. You're not putting that drip, keep him cool. So immediately you'll have to start that today. Like that. I know how to keep it. I tell you a snake story. Because it floods in Mayapur. Sometimes it really... In the year 2000, a big flood. They said that was like a three-generation flood. And the Shingadev went underwater. It's up to right around his waist almost. And they're high. That's why we built those altars high, because of that. So we should do the... We do as much as possible, then... when the water starts to come up, you know, then at a certain point you just have to abandon ship. And then we'll take all the small deities upstairs on the roof and just put oil on the big deities and wrap them up in cloth, in their cloth. And this, of course, Radha Madhava, we would do a bowl run offering every day. But Shingadev, he went right underwater. So we took a picture and Prahlad upstairs in the Shaligrams, we used to do that puja. So in the morning, I would do the, after Mangal Aarti, then everyone would leave. It was kind of spooky, it was very dark and quiet then, you know, because the sun hadn't risen. And I had a little table, about this big wooden table, then I used to put the puja paraphernalia on the table. And it would be like a boat, you would float, so I could push it out, and it was as much water. And a stick in one hand and a torch light in the other, because there's lots of snakes there. So it'd be like a boat. Then I would put this small table on the altar. It was like this much above the water level. And so I'd put the stuff down, and I would sit on the table. So it'd just be water level, just above the water. Then I would do the Archon from the Shingadev. One day the snake came. He used to come every day, actually. Big snake. And he would come in and go around the Shingadev and then go out again. Not the way we go, he would go the other way. No, he'd go anti-clockwise. And one day he was late. And I had already finished the puja, then I was offering the aarti. And I was offering the aarti, and then he came in. And then he came round the Shingadev and he came towards me. And there's a wall here and the altar's here. There's only this much space, and I'm standing there blocking his path. And they don't have any fear in the water, so he came up like that, and about from here to here, and then he's checking me out like this. And I thought, oh boy. You can't run in the water, you know. And my stick was on the other side. I couldn't. I looked down, all my hairs were standing on end. It was an ecstasy. And then he came, and then he went, doop, under the muddy water. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was thinking all these things were going, and then I looked up and Shingadev's here, you know. I'm praying, hey, and Shingadev is only that Prabhu. Pahi Mom. You're the super soul in everyone's heart. You're the super soul in the snake's heart also. If you want him to bite me, then he'll bite me. If you don't want to bite me, he won't bite me, right? Right? I never saw the snake again. He didn't come back anymore. But it was a good lesson for me that, you know, we're supposed to always depending on Krishna, right? He's standing 5 foot away, and I'm thinking, how am I going to protect myself? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? He's right there, and Shingadev is right in front of me. And I'm thinking, how am I going to help myself? Do you see? We're supposed to be depending on Krishna. He's right there, I'm forgetting him. But as soon as I remembered him, then I became peaceful. If you want to bite me, then bite. If you don't, it's your program. Then I was peaceful. Understand? He never came back again. There's another one, a little snake. Now, a little snake, you can't tell whether they're poisonous. You can't tell the markings, you know. So you don't know whether it's poisonous or not. They're about that big. They swim around, and I was doing the pujas, and one eye on the snake, and one... Then he disappeared. So I became more nervous. At least I could see him before. Now I can't see him. So I'm looking around, and there he was. He was curled up on the seat right next to me, because the seat was only this big, you see, the table. He was curled up there, right next to me. I thought, well, at least he's peace, he's sleeping, he's resting. So that was the quickest puja I ever done. Then I just gingerly slid off the seat and pushed it away and let him float away. But otherwise, the floods are good fun, generally. So now it's almost... time for arati. Anyone like to say anything? Maybe someone else has some stories here. There's some more stories. If someone wants to borrow this, they can. Oh no, let's have that book. Here. Yes, Prabhupada. Well, I just exhausted this one. Read the story from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but now all these other stories of how people got, you know, cured and things like that, and they're a bit repetitious. Otherwise, dozens and dozens of things going on. Yeah. Yeah, nothing happened to me. No reciprocation. Yes. Yes, it's the same. Also, Lord Jagannath. You wouldn't say there were big devotees, you know, strict sadhana, you wouldn't say that. Many of those devotees. So you never know. It's not... we only see what the... We can only see externally. We don't know what devotee was in, what he was in his last life, how, what his relationship was, things like that. That's it was surprising to me also. That, especially Lord Jagannath, he's one devotee used to reciprocate a lot, and he wasn't a strict devotee at all. He loved kirtan. He had a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. But he has quite a few. So, Lord's mercy. Well, this man who saw Nrisimhadeva, he wasn't even a devotee. Yeah, and we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You get up, take it at Mongolai. He's Surat, completely independent. Sri Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Bhagavan ki jai, Dago Pranandi, Hari Hari Bo. Thank you very much.